talking about the book of Romans. He was talking about Romans chapter 2. How many of you know what's in Romans chapter 2? Whoa. Well, when you get home, you read Romans chapter 2, and Paul talks about it, and even chapter 1. How about chapter 1? Oh, it's quiet. You guys are awful quiet. The end of chapter 1, Paul's saying the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness because men, they were created to do this, but they're doing this. And they're supposed to do this, and they're doing that. This pastor was saying to us that in some countries of the world, it's illegal for pastors and churches to talk openly about Romans chapter 1. It's illegal. It's against the law. You can't preach from Romans chapter 1. Well, we have freedom to preach from chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we have freedom to fellowship together and worship together and to come together and have a picnic, and that's going to be good. We're looking forward to that. We're just excited to be able to talk again this morning about our own house campaign. We have some graphics that we want to show you. When we started out our campaign a month ago, we owned Vroom. We owed Abracadabra. There it is. There we go. We owed $190,000 actually when we started. After we renovated this building, we paid it down quite a bit. Then we built our addition, and that brought us up to $190,000, as you can see on the lower part of your of the screen here. And then a month ago, when we began our debt campaign, we were just under $70,000. We had just under $70,000. Now you can see that again at the bottom on the left. We are down to $52,000. What that means is all the blue dollar signs on the house there, that's what we owed at the beginning of our program. Then the yellow, you can see the yellow dollar signs. That's what we've, each sign represents $1,000 actually. And so we've got all that many $1,000, it's about whatever 70 is from 52, sounds like about $18,000. We're just so blessed at that. And the gray at the top is what we yet have owing, $14,751. That was an awesome slide. There we go, $14,751.94¼. That's awesome. Yes. Linda's just reminding me that we found, I wish we could do this every day or every week. We found an account at the church that we had that had $3,500 in it. And so we just kind of blended them together, just kind of stuck it in like that. I wish we could find $3,500 accounts, you know, every week. But it happened that we did that just this time. And so we're just so blessed. We have $14,000. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? And we're just so excited, and we're looking forward to the completing of the campaign. Now, we have some handouts that our ushers are just ready to hand out to you. Some of you may have already received them. You may have them on your fridge already. But we're going to quickly, if you need a reminder, a brochure, just wave at Denise and Bob. And I'm hoping they can keep their concentration long enough. And when you get them standing together, concentration kind of goes a little bit wacko. But if you just wave at them, then you got some chance at least of connecting with them. But they have a handout for you just to stick on your fridge as a reminder to join your faith with ours as we go through this program together. Also, we in our regular, who has an offering envelope? My wife has one here. If on your regular weekly giving, right at the bottom or near the bottom, it says special projects. If you wish to contribute to this program, then you just write in there like Linda did, own the house, right? And then you put your amount, the amount of your gift on that, and we'll be excited to add that to the program as it's progressing. So we're just so excited. Last time, or when we introduced the program, we asked Doug if he would come and share from the Word of God. The foundation for the biblical foundation, scriptural foundation, for us taking this step of faith. And we've asked him to repeat that. In fact, he's going to be speaking to us a little bit here and there over the next couple of weeks on this topic. So, Doug, would you come? Let's welcome Doug as he comes to share. Praise Jesus.
Morning. Okay, I'm going to do exactly what I did on May the 3rd, so I'm going to try. There's faith. Everybody has individual faith, and everybody has individual anointing. But there's also a corporate faith and a corporate anointing, and that's what we're doing right now. And some of us are excited about it. When you get a revelation from God, the Bible talks about the kingdom of God and the mysteries of the kingdom. And there are mysteries in the kingdom of God, and we're all king's kids. But people live and die their whole life and never find the mysteries. They just read the Bible, but with no revelation. But there's mysteries hidden in the Bible, and God wants to reveal them to us. And what we're doing here is a corporate faith, a corporate anointing. And I was talking to Denise the other day in the office, and I said, you know, some of us, we get together, we talk about this stuff, we get all excited, but the rest of the church aren't getting excited about it. And what we want to get up here for a couple of weeks and get you excited about it, because this stuff is real. And some of the mysteries, Jesus is the head of the church, and he's chosen a church. He's chosen a congregation. And there are some things that if you're called to this church, I don't want to bust your bubble, but you're not going to get it anywhere else. You're not going to get it anywhere else. You're not going to get it in Fort Worth, Texas. You're going to get it here in Solid Rock Church. Some of the stuff that God wants for you is going to happen here. Now, having said that, I want you to get excited with your faith with us, because what's happening here is not just about paying off the house. God is behind this. We don't have to come up with all this money. We've made a petition to God, and God is working on this, and God's going to get this done. And I want to be a partner of it. I want to be a partner with God and be part of this. And it's exciting. Because once we get this done, then we'll see, man, there's other things we can do as a congregation. We can get our faith together and do a lot more. So, the foundation scripture that we used, excuse me, the church, as we know, let's put it this way, Israel in the Old Testament is a type of the church, okay? So in 2 Samuel 7, verse 10, it says, it's what you get up there. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. So I want you to see the phrase there, a place of their own. God wants his people to have a place of their own. And that's what we're doing here. Even though that we now, for years, Solid Rock Church rented a place, then they bought this place. But we may think we own this place, but like I said a few weeks ago, we miss a couple of payments and we pretty well find out who owns it. Right away, the credit union come knocking. And so what we want to do is get rid of that mortgage. We believe we have a mandate from God to own the house. Now, I'm going to go to Genesis. I'm just not going to do it exactly the same. Last time we just talked about the fact that the first two seeds, or sorry, the first two gifts that God gave man was seed and authority. The first, right in the book of Genesis, the first things that God gave man was seed and authority. And with those two gifts, there's nothing you can't do. 6,000 years later, you take those same things, the authority as a man and the seed, and there's nothing you can accomplish. Now in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. "And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." And so what we see there in those two verses, right in the beginning of Genesis, is that the seed is in itself. That's the law of Genesis. Everything produces after its own kind. God set that up in Genesis, the law of first mention, and everything produces after its own kind. So anytime you have the seed is in itself. If you have an apple seed and you go plant it in your garden, I guarantee you it's not going to grow cucumbers. The seed is in itself, and everything produces after its own kind. So now as we go through life, we find out that God's word is seed. So if you need healing, what do? Do you look for scriptures in the Bible that talk about marriage? Do you look in there for that talk about finances? No, the seed is in itself. So if you need healing in your body, everything produces after its own kind. So what you do is you find scriptures on healing. But the same is with money. Money is seed. And so if you're here today and you have debt, if you have debt on your house, this is a good project to sow into, because you're sowing to get rid of the debt of Solid Rock Church, and everything produces after its own kind. But let's take it a step farther. God wants you to own your own. And so whether it's your car, whether it's your horse, whether it's your truck, whether it's your business, whatever it is, God wants you to have your own. And so whatever it is, you can sow towards that. I want you to go to Luke chapter 5. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about partnership and how important it is with partnership. But in this case, we're talking about partnering with God and partnering with Solid Rock Church, because once you partner with Solid Rock Church, you're automatically partnering with God and what God's mandate is. And in Luke, the 5th chapter, in verse 1, it says, "And so it was, as a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And Jesus saw two boats." Everybody say two boats. Two boats standing by the lake. And it says fishermen had gone from them. So not just one fisherman, but fishermen. So a bunch of guys are there, the fishermen, and they're washing their nets. And it says that Jesus got into one of the boats. So out of these two boats, Jesus gets into one of these boats. It's Simon Peter's boat. And he says to Peter, "Put it out a little bit from the land." And then Jesus sat down. He sits down in this big old boat. He's sitting there and he's using it as a pulpit. And he's teaching from the boat. And then when he had stopped speaking, then he says to Simon Peter, "Launch out into the deep and catch and let down your net for a catch." Verse 5, "But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.'" So Jesus uses Peter's boat, and then he says to Peter, "Okay, now I want you to do something." And Peter obeyed the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord to us is, own the house. And so now we're acting on the word of the Lord. In verse 6, it says, "When they," okay, so Peter obviously has some employees. "When they had done this, they had caught a great number of fish, and the net was breaking." So this is the guys in Peter's boat that done this. And so in verse 7, it says, "They signaled to their partners." I want you to see the word partners in the other boat. So the other boat is still sitting on shore. So they signaled to them and say, "Come and help." And they came and filled the boats, but they both began to sink. I want you to look at that in the NIV Bible, in verse 7 in the NIV Bible. Luke chapter 5, verse 7, NIV. It says, "They signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink." They filled both the boats. Both of them were full. You've heard me say this before, but if I was up here with an empty glass of water, and there was a big pitcher sitting here, and Rick is intelligent, and I would say, "Rick, give me a glass of water." And so Rick would start to pour the water into my glass. And when it got a little bit from the top, I'd say, "Okay, that's good enough, thank you." And he just kept there and kept filling it. And it's running all over the floor, and he just keeps pouring it, and it keeps running all over the floor, and he keeps pouring it. Why would he be doing that? There'd only be one reason. Because he wants to. Because he knows when it's full. He knows when to stop. I've told him to stop, but he keeps doing it. He's intelligent. The only reason he's doing that. Why does God do the things he does? Why does he fill a boat so full that it begins to sink? Why in Luke chapter 6:38, when it says, "Give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Why does every time God does something for us, it's running over? How come he tells us in Malachi, when we tithe, that there's going to be the window's going to be such open so much that there's not enough room to receive it? How come every time God starts to give to us, he gives us too much? Because he wants to. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a too much God. And he wants to give us abundance and no lack. Jesus came to give us an abundant life. That's just the kind of a God we serve. And in verse 8 it says, "When Peter saw this," the too much God, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord." What happened here was Jesus used Peter's boat. He sowed his boat into Peter sowed his boat into Jesus' ministry. Now Jesus had to respond with the laws of the kingdom. And so what happens? He gets a catch of fish. He was a fisherman. That's what he needed. And then they get two boats full of fish. In verse 8, it says, "All who were with them were astonished at the catch of fish which had taken." So that means, now if you catch that, it says all who were with Peter. That means him and his employees and his boat were astonished at the catch. But then over in verse 10, it says, "So also were James and John in their boat, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon." What I want you to catch that is the importance of partnership. Peter was the one that acted on God's word. He's the one that put his boat out in the water. He's the one that obeyed Jesus. He's the one that got his boat full. And then when his boat started to overfill, he calls his partners. They come along and they get exactly the same catch. Their boat started to to sink. Now, my question to you is, how much faith did the guys on the shore use to catch that fish? None. It was all to do because Peter acted on the word. But because they were partners, and the way the kingdom of God works, automatically the partners received also. And so what we're trying to do is get you guys excited to partner with Solid Rock Church, partner with God. If somebody comes along and they give $1,000 and you say, oh, I want to give into this project so bad, but all I got is $20. Just keep this story in mind. You're going to have the same anointing on you that you have in the person that gives more, because you're a partner. You're a partner of this, but you have to get involved in it. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your $20 or your $10,000. God needs your willingness. God needs your obedience. And so our mandate from God is to own the house. And it's a mystery of the kingdom of God, and we're going to get this done because God's helping us. And when it happens, then we're going to have other projects, and we're going to see some stuff. And there may be somebody that's dying of a disease somewhere, and we need to get a corporate faith going after that person. There's lots of things that could be, and it may be you. It may be you in the future that needs some help. But when this church understands the principles of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and we get that corporate anointing going and get our faith together, guys, there's no stopping us. Can you say amen? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take up the offering like normal. But just remember, either this week or next week or whenever you want to sow into to this project, make sure you mark it on your envelope. If you've got, let's say you bring a $100 and you want to put $50 into own the house and $50 into your tithe, then mark that. Put $50 right up in the envelope, $50 from the tithe amount, and then down at the special projects, write, you know, debt cancellation project or own the house project or something, write that there so that the people counting the money make sure they know where to put it. Father, we just give you praise and glory. And Father, we thank you that you said, Jesus said when he was on this earth, that whatever we ask the Father in his name, that you would give us. And so, Father, we've asked to be debt-free, and we've asked you to get involved in that. And so, Father, we've sown our seed from Solid Rock Church into ministries, and we've named our seed to be debt-free and own the house. And so, Father, we thank you that we are debt-free in this church. We call ourselves debt-free. And we thank you, Lord, that this project that we have before you is being done. And we just thank you for the opportunity to sow into it. We pray blessing on the project and on the people and on the giving. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
This marks a special week for us. One of the things I'm reminded of, Linda has a sign at home on the fridge or something that, it's on the cupboard, I guess, that tomorrow, June 1st, marks Vern and Susie's anniversary. Yay! So, Congratulations to Vern and Susie. Right, that's special for them. God bless you. There we go. We also have a number of guests with us this morning. We welcome you all in Jesus' name. And it's particularly good for us to have Katerina home. Welcome, Katerina. We're really glad to have you home. Eckhart just didn't look the same, Katerina. So we're blessed to have Katerina. She's a world traveler, and so we're blessed to have her home. Okay, today's special. We're going to take some time for testimonies, as we mentioned last week. But just before we can do that, we're going to release our children to their classes. So I'd like you to stand with me. Let's stand together. We just want to pray for our kids as they go. Father, in the name of Jesus, the greatest treasure of our lives is to know you and to know the kingdom of God. So, Father, we pray that blessing even on our children as the word of God is sown into their hearts. Holy Spirit, we invite you to water, to nurture, to nourish, to guard this seed, that it would produce the full measure of blessing that Jesus went to the cross for. We proclaim the blessing of God, the quickening of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these, our children, and those who minister to Him, to them, and to us all, Father, as we come to this moment in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You may be seated. Just before we open the floor for testimonies, let me just say just a word about money and finances. Linda was reading an article this last week from Morris Sorello. And Morris Sorello said this. Morris Sorello, most of you know, is an evangelist who ministers the world with the gospel. He said this: of all the letters that we receive in our office and all the requests that we have of people, all the prayer requests, he said over 80% of them have to do with finances and financial need. Another brother was ministering on one occasion, and he asked the people, I think he said, to close their eyes. Doesn't matter. Just however you think best, right? You just scrunch up like that. He said, I want you to think of what your greatest need is right now. What your greatest need is. Think. Oh yeah, you got it. Now those of you whose greatest need is financial, I want you to stand to your feet. And 90% of the congregation stood to their feet. If that is all true, if 90%, if 80 or 90% of us, if our greatest need is financial, then what that means is we need to come to a fresh understanding and a greater revelation of what the kingdom of God's about. And the full provision of Jesus and how to access even material blessing in our lives. And so part of what Doug is sharing, part of what we are sharing with you, when we talk about own the house, it has to do with paying off the mortgage. Yes, indeed it does. But it also has to do with exposing us and sowing in us a greater revelation of God's ability and God's purpose and God's plan to meet our financial need. And we know, we're coming to understand more and more that that has to do with sowing and reaping. Right, we live in a world where we're in the country, particularly we're accustomed to sowing and reaping, but we're coming to learn more and more that has to do with the kingdom of God. Okay, that's all good. Last week we mentioned, by the way, I mentioned to you that this week we were looking forward to sharing the Lord's Supper together, but that plan has changed. How many of you guys know that a president or prime minister, they all have handlers, right? Well, pastors have handlers too, right? And so the people that handle me said, oh, we can't do all that this week because we have some stuff on. And so we've just elected to postpone our communion service to next Sunday. So just for the record. But last week we mentioned to you this, that we are looking forward to taking some of our time this morning to those of you who have testimonies that you would like to share about what God's been doing in your life, things that God has been speaking to you, or ways that blessing has come to you from heaven. And so we're going to take some time for that this morning. And so now it's up to you. Who is the first one that'd like to come and share with us? Y'all got to come up here and I'll have a microphone and I'll help you. Oh, praise Jesus. I like this one. He's always good. I can't imagine what you would ever say.
Good morning, everybody.
Praise Jesus.
We are so lucky God loves us.
Blessed, blessed.
My testimonial this morning has to do with healing. As you know, I'm learning about God, and I've been born again since last September. And I have a fantastic teachers who've been teaching me.
Praise
and
Jesus.
A lot of the teaching has been on healing. So in January, I went for surgery. And it was a planned surgery. I was cut from here,
ouch,
all the way around,
ouch,
and back to here.
Ouch.
Before I went for surgery, Doug, Denise, Sandra, and myself prayed in agreement that all would go well. And I went for surgery. I had my surgery. Within 2 hours, I was up and walking. The nurse told my daughter, who was with me, that you're going to have to tie him down, which, wow, that's me, right? So the surgery went well. Within 4 days, I was off all medication. Hmm. Within 3.5 weeks, I was back at the gym. And Denise said something to me today, to me during that period of time that never occurred to me, because I'm an infant in this, of course, that I was experiencing supernatural healing.
Praise the Lord.
And I fully believe that. So that's what I'm sharing with you today. Our God is good.
Oh.
Our God loves us.
Praise Jesus.
Healing works. Believe in it, and it will work for you.
Praise Jesus.
Supernatural healing is out there for us.
Praise the Lord.
All we have to do is believe, and we will receive.
Praise God.
Just believe, and you will receive. Whether it's finances, prosperity, healing, our sins, sickness.
That's it.
It's there. Believe, and we will receive. Mm. It's as simple as that.
Praise God.
So I ask you all to believe. And whatever it is that you need in finances, healing, the day-to-day stuff that you have to deal with,
yeah,
believe and we will receive.
Praise the Lord.
Woo-hoo! Our God is good.
Thank you, Bob. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Bob. Yes, Deborah. That's just intriguing.
Surprise. Last Sunday when Pastor said that we'd be having testimonies, just as soon as he said that, in the same split second that I was thinking, oh, what could I share, in that same split second, this story came to mind. So I trust that that the Lord wanted me to share it today. So goes back a little ways. When I was growing up, my mom had a cedar chest. Now, those of you who, I bet a lot of your moms maybe grew up,
yep,
in that era where they had a cedar chest. And in the cedar chest, you know, it was her wedding dress and different paraphernalia, things that she wanted to keep. And in that cedar chest was this dress that I just knew that she had got it for somebody's wedding, but never wore it for some reason. And I probably was told the story, but couldn't quite remember it. And anyways, this dress was in that trunk for, my mom and dad have been married 58 years. So she got this probably, I don't know, might have been 56, 57 years ago. And several years ago, Nicola was visiting my parents at the farm, and of course, it's always fun to go through grandma's trunk, right? So she found this dress, and it fit her. And so she thought, you know, maybe that she might want to wear it to her grade 8 grad or something. And so she brought it home. And anyways, she didn't end up wearing it, but this dress was now in my closet or her closet. And last year, Jenna was invited to a wedding and to go with a friend, and she wanted something to wear. Well, lo and behold, she wore this dress. So it was kind of a novelty, so I took a picture and all that. And shortly after, we were visiting my parents at the farm, and I was showing Mom the picture of Jenna wearing her dress that my mom never wore. And so I said, asked Mom, I said, so what, you know, I kind of know the story, but I don't really, you know, what was it with this dress? And she says, well, it was for her friend Ruby's wedding. Ruby, her friend, had stood up for my mom at my mom and dad's wedding. And a year or so later, when Ruby got married, Mom was to stand up for her. So she bought this dress. It's all ready to go, but for whatever reason, my dad, he was a farmer, so I don't know, maybe it was harvest time or whatever, he didn't want to take her. So she was probably a little miffed at him. And so she never went to her friend's wedding and never got to wear this dress. And Mom no sooner finished telling me this story, like about 5 minutes later, the phone rang. Well, lo and behold, it's Ruby on the phone. And I happened to answer the phone. And because this was fresh in my mind, I just blurted everything out. Oh, Ruby, you'll never guess what. Jenna just wore the dress that my mom got for your wedding. And she says, really? She says, well, she said, I never did tell your mom, but I was kind of hurt that she never came to my wedding. And I said, Ruby, I said, you know that she wanted to, but it was my dad who never, he didn't want to go, and I guess she didn't want to go without him. And so anyways, just in that short time, like this is 56, 57 years later, it was settled in her heart, you know, what had really happened, because I don't think she ever knew all these years. So I just thought it was just really remarkable how God just orchestrated everything and to, you know, bring, I mean, they were friends all these years, but I don't think she ever knew the real reason why my mom didn't go to the wedding.
Praise the Lord.
So anyways, just for the lady's sake, I brought the dress.
Whoa.
So this was the dress. So I was still hanging in my closet, so I thought just for the ladies.
We're good, awesome. Praise the Lord. Come on, ladies. Thank you, Deborah. Praise the Lord.
Lord.
Indeed.
In the name of the Lord. Lord has truly been good to me. I've been having some really interesting time here to prepare to go way out west. And but the Lord has really been good. I've been struggling for quite some time to get up the night too many times for the nighttime. And in the last couple of days, twice now, last night and the night before, I went to bed and I slept like a baby, never got up all night.
Wow.
And that hasn't happened for a long, long time. I just slept right through. And this morning, I worked, didn't get to bed until close to 2 o'clock this morning and preparing to go away. And I woke up 8 o'clock and I was so stiff and tired I wanted to go back to sleep. But no, the Lord strengthened me. Just gave me that strength and that encouragement. And the dogs helped me. They got up and said, we're going to go outside. So 8 o'clock, they wanted to go outside. So I had, I didn't have much excuse. I had to let them out by that time I woke up to get going. So God has been with me, preparing the way for me and helping me get things organized. And there's been a lot of pressure to get out there a little sooner than I was supposed to have been there a long time ago already. But God has been gracious and give me the extended time to go. And so I just want to appreciate your prayers for when I'm gone. I don't know how long I'm going to be gone, maybe a month and a half, maybe 2 months. I'm not sure yet. Depends how far I go. I plan on going out to Vancouver and Edmonton and tour the country for a while. But I'm going there also to like you to pray for souls, because this is like a journey trip for me, a missionary trip. I'm not going just to visit. I'm going to minister the gospel everywhere I go, and that is my desire, to see souls come into the kingdom. And so just appreciate you all here and love you all in the Lord. and keep serving Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Rick. God bless you. God bless you. Who's next? Who has something you'd like to talk about the goodness of God? Oh, Nadine.
I've come a little unprepared this morning. I totally forgot about today. The past couple weeks, I've been noticing a lot of change in my grandpa. He used to be, we used to call him Grandpa because all he could do was, something was wrong. There was always something wrong, something he had to be mad about. He got mad because his shoe wouldn't stay tied one day. It was, and he likes to snoop through things because he's like that. And we all have our own little drawers in our filing cabinets and stuff like that. And I keep catching him going through my drawer. And I'm like, honestly, what are you doing? So one day, I noticed him and I left it alone. And I go into the living room about, I don't know, 10 minutes later, and he's at the CD player. And he's trying to figure out how to play one of my gospel CDs. So I was like, well, I started playing it for him, and he's sitting in his chair, and he's just going along to it. So, all right, let him be. He was happy. He was quiet for once. So I left, and I come back, and the CD stopped playing. So he was getting mad because it wouldn't listen to him, and it wouldn't keep playing. So I put the other ones in for him, and he was sitting there listening. And the next morning, again, he was in my drawer. I was like, okay, now what? You've listened to all my CDs, and he's pulling out. He's just looking through all my notes from, like, youth group and church and all that stuff, and he's reading all of them. He's like, oh, you're good at taking notes. Yeah, duh. Mm-hmm. I do it in school all day. So the last day I caught him last Saturday, I caught him in the living room reading one of my Bibles. Because I have my pages all noted and stuff like that, and he's reading all my notes in my Bible. And he goes, wow, you really do pay attention to this stuff. And I was, well, yeah. So I was trying to do worship on Sunday after church. I went to my farm, and I was trying to do worship because my grandma was out in the garden, and my grandpa was supposedly sleeping, so I thought now's a good time to do worship. So I had all my stuff set up in the living room and get ready to worship and play my music, and I hear him coming through the bedroom. I'm like, oh boy, here we go, because he's going to complain because I got all my stuff all over the living room. He comes in and he's sitting there. He says, oh, I'm about to do worship. Oh, well, how dare you? I've never heard my grandpa want to do something like that. Normally when I'm doing something, my grandpa's like, oh, we'll do that somewhere else. It's like, what? I was here first. And then it starts a whole argument. But no, he's never been interested in anything to do with when I do worship or anything like that. But ever since my baptism and all that stuff, he's been so
praise
in
Lord.
With that. And I don't know, I've seen him change. Praise he used God. To be like, he couldn't do anything without like running out of breath immediately or anything, and now he's got all this energy. He wow. wants to fix things around the house and get everything going. And the only thing I can think of honestly is that God has been healing him as much as he
praise
can
Lord.
I mean, he was really sick when we first moved out there, and he had no energy. He couldn't help us do anything, and now all he wants to do is help my grandma with the dishes, or he'll go outside and work on the door with my uncle, or he'll come out and help me in the garden even sometimes. And it's honestly, it's a miracle, because he's never been
wonderful.
This energetic in the past wonderful. At least 10 years that
praise
I can remember.
Lord.
So
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Nadine. Thank you. The word of God is powerful, right? Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, right? If you take hold of the word of God, it works. It's a miracle working. So praise God for that. If you're going to speak, you got to do it, because otherwise we're going to move on. 1, 2, 3. Who's next? Yes, come on up, Shannon.
I actually didn't know today was going to be Testimony Sunday because we were away last week, but just want to encourage you that are moms and dads and just have families, or those of you that care about family members. Just, you know, Vernon and I have been through quite a bit with our kids, especially this past year. Just lots of ways that the enemy has tried to really pull them down. But, you know, here's the thing. We are so vulnerable to light. We're so vulnerable to Jesus. We are so vulnerable to healing and to his kindness and to his love That's the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what we declare over our kids. You are so vulnerable to the kindness and the goodness of God, to truth working in your life, to every lie being exposed and being replaced with the truth of the love of God for you. Yeah. You're so vulnerable to encounters with Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just see such wonderful things happening in their lives. Like, God is amazing. Whoa. Again and again and again and again. He is relentless in his love for our kids. As much as we love them, he really does love them more. And you know, often as parents, we struggle in our hearts to let go of our kids because there's that fear thing somehow that just wants to get in there. But you know, when we just really just begin to just say, you know, God, you really are Father. You really are the best thing that could ever happen to my kids. You really are all about the details in their lives, just like you are all about the details in our lives. There's just something that begins to come to rest in you. And just I'm not going to go into any details, but just enough to say that we're seeing absolute miracles happen.
Praise
again
Jesus.
And again and again.
Praise
and
Jesus.
Again. And our kids are, one of them that's just had a struggle recently is just coming around to a new place in Jesus and his love for Jesus. And that's just, it just does a mom and a dad's heart good to see
Absolutely.
All those kinds of things happen. And a couple of scriptures that really, for one of my kids, the Lord gave me this scripture, and it's an odd scripture, but it was the riddle that Samson gave to the Philistines. This was the riddle: out of the eater, something to eat; out of the strong, something sweet. And it was actually a lion that had been killed, and there was bees making honey inside the lion. And there's something about when the Lord gives you a promise, when the Lord gives you the word of God over a situation, you don't have to wait. And we know this, but you don't have to wait to see that situation manifest. You can go. You can go to the end of the situation. You can go to the end of the promise. You can go to what has been promised and start rejoicing in it as if it's already happened, because if God's given you he sees it as already having happened. So why wait to rejoice?
Yeah, yeah.
Rejoice now. And there's that scripture that says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. So I go eat the honey that's in the lion right now.
Wow.
The thing that was meant to kill my kids, that lion, there's honey coming out of it. So I'm rejoicing in the honey right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to wait for my
Praise
tongue
Jesus.
To be filled with laughter and my mouth with songs of joy when it happens. I'm doing it now because God has given me such amazing promises, and he's not
praise,
one that lies.
Praise
he is
Jesus.
So behind every
praise,
one of his
praise
words.
The Lord.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you, Shannon. Praise the Lord.
Last while I was going through a battle with one of my family members. And you know that it says the enemy will come in like a flood, but God will set up a standard against it.
Hmm.
And you know what? All of a sudden, you know, when you get on your knees and you start to pray, and you put in your new business with God, and you pray, God will work a mighty work.
Praise the Lord.
Through it all.
Praise God.
You have to pray.
Praise
and I have to pray hard. And all of a sudden, everything went smooth. And today, we are in unity.
Praise Jesus.
Just because of the prayer.
Praise the Lord.
Prayer and the consistency that I have of praying for my family.
Praise the Lord. It's awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Rick. Bless you. Kathy, yes. I'm told this isn't working, Kathy. Hello, 1, 2, 3. This will work. It's leaking.
I've never had a problem of not being heard.
Bill.
Yeah. But I just want to encourage you as a congregation. As most of you know, we've moved here at the end of January. You're blessed here. You're blessed with this church. You're blessed with the leadership that you have in this church. I mean, you know, Bill and I come from a bigger city, and I mean, I just want you to know that God really loves you guys, because the quality of leadership that is in this church is top-notch. Top-notch. Bless you guys. You know, I honor you, and I am so blessed to be here. I'm going to cry now. God is good. You know, I keep saying God is good. And we moved up here. I dragged my heels. I mean, you can probably see the marks out on the highway. But, you know, I've been so blessed here. I mean, God has, peace has been on me, and I'm happy. I'm happy. And, you know, God likes to give you the desires of your heart. And just to make a long story short, I mean, I grew up in poverty, and God has been working on that poverty mentality that I had. I mean, he's been breaking it off of me. And deep in my heart, I wanted the horse. I'm the lady that prayed for the horse. And a couple of weeks ago, I said, well, Lord, I don't know anything about horses. I mean, there's, you can get out there, they drug horses, you can get into so much trouble. And I said, you know, is this what you want for me? It is a gift. And I just put horses for sale, the site popped up, and there was the site for this horse. And it had everything I wanted in a horse. And so I contacted the person, and Candy says, I'll take you to see him. And it was down in Steinbach, Manitoba. And we went down there, and I rode him, and I thought, what am I doing? This horse knows more than I do. I realized that I am not the rider I used to be, but we prayed, and I sowed a seed last week for the horse that the Lord had for me. And Kylie was telling Doug Cook about this horse, and he says, well, does he come from the Doc's Hickory line? And I go, well, I don't know. What, I don't know nothing about pedigree and horses. But this is, I bought the horse. I cried as I wrote the check. I'm sure Bill cried as I wrote the check. But he is the great-grandson of this world-class cutting horses. His pedigree is top-notch. And I'm telling you this because God wants to give you the best, you know. And at the end, I told the lady, I said, I'm a Christian. I just kind of give her a quick rundown of how this came to be. And she says, so am I. She says, when every foal is born, we lay hands on those foals. We bless them with, you know, health and whatever. And she says, we pray that they go to the home that God has chosen for them. So I'm a proud new owner of High Octane Hickory.
Kathy, you can't do that. Don't you do that anymore, Kathy.
Mm-hmm. Inspired me in prayer meetings on Wednesday nights. For a very long time, we have been calling the people that are supposed to be in this church. We've been calling them in from the north, and we name some of those communities.
Yes, yes.
We've been calling them in from the south, and calling them in from the east,
yes.
Calling them in from the west. All the people that are supposed to be here,
yes.
Not just people, but the ones that are supposed to be part of this team, Solid Rock Community Church. And you know that you guys are all part
truly
of that team. We want you to feel like you belong, that you are part of something bigger than yourself. And I thank God for the Reimers and for the Hearns and the, you know, the people that have just come in recently. But all of you, like you guys have come in just in the last few years too. But even if you've been here forever, you're still one of the ones that God has called to this place. We want you to feel part of this team.
That's awesome.
And pray. We praise God for each one of you.
That's very good. Very good. Thank you, Sandra. Very good.
Yeah, well, next November, I am going to be going on a tour of Israel.
Oh.
And there's a story behind this. I really believe that the Lord wants me to have this tour. Well, it was last fall, I was reading this newsletter. I still get this email newsletter from Anglican Network in Canada. Here was this little paragraph that this study tour of Israel was being organized for November 2015, and I thought, oh, isn't that nice? Delete. And for so many years, I've been so I was so tight financially that I don't think in terms of travel like that. It just was not on the budget for forever. And I would have forgotten about it except for 1 or 2 days after that, my friend, her name is Gaylene, said, I've always wanted to go to Israel. I was planning to take a tour a few years ago, but things didn't work out and she didn't go. And I said, well, I saw this advertisement for a tour of Israel. Suppose we find out some information and consider it. So I went back and, reopened that file, got information, the itinerary or whatever. I made her a copy. I got excited about it. She got excited about it. And so there was our tentative plan to go. But there's only one thing. Gaylene was suffering from cancer. And she's a faithful Christian. She was very much at peace with it, very confident that God would heal her. She, really a wonderful person to pray for. She accepted it all. And she looked after herself. And so anyway, where it stands now, I have definitely got my deposit in to go on Great this trip. Storm. She has been holding off because of the treatment. She's been through her surgery, chemotherapy. She needs to see that she's well. She's got an appointment on the 9th to all her tests to see where she's at. She's kind of holding off till then. But I'm going, and I'm trusting the Lord that she is completely healed, that that she will be going on the tour, too. I believe this trip is in God's plan for us.
That's so exciting.
Thank you, Lord. Ooh,
that's wonderful, Linda. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak of the goodness of God? Matt, did I see that hand? I see that hand. Come and talk to us, Matt.
I don't tell my story very much. And I gave too much credit to the adversary of our souls in my life. But I had an illness in my life that God is healing me, and He has healed me. And it was a tough one to deal with because it was a disease, a illness of the mind. And I used to make light of it, but the last little while, God has been purging me in a way that sometimes He saves us completely, even as new believers. And some of my story, a lot of people would want to forget my story, and I haven't even really told it yet. But I was they called it youth's greatest disabler. It was called schizophrenia, and they went through probably at least 4 or 5 different diagnoses over the years. But by Christian love and the body of Christ and the church and the Savior, God has really eradicated that from my life. And I'm really glad for that. And by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we are made overcomers. And truly, I just thank the Lord that He gives joy unspeakable. And my sorrow is turned to laughter.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. We'll have 1 or 2 more, so if some of you guys are on, you better be on, because just 1 second, Aaliyah. You're first after me.
Faith is a great thing. And sometimes we lack the faith, and we wait. It's like the story this morning about the Lord had told Peter, launch out into the deep and cast down your net. Well, Peter had already been out all night long. He'd been fishing and hadn't caught anything. But he obeyed God's word. And see, that's what faith is. It's obeying the word of God. Sometimes we're waiting for God to do something before we'll take that step. But God says, you take the step and I'll make things happen.
That's right.
And so I just wanted to encourage you today that, you know what, if you're waiting for something to happen, you may wait a long time.
Yeah.
There are people who are saying, well, I'm waiting to be blessed. My blessing is coming. If you don't see that you're blessed now, because you are blessed now, and you need to confess it, Lord, I am blessed now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've just been encouraged here the last little while. Sometimes when you go through some disappointments, some losses, and so on and so forth. Last year, I had a $30,000 loss in my business. Three people who didn't pay me. And so it was kind of, you kind of get leery and you kind of get gun shy and you're thinking, okay, God, why did that happen? And you kind of are hesitant to take some steps of faith. But the Lord just showing me it isn't me. It's the other people's fault. It's the other people who, you know, and the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? Yes. But you know what? It was an assignment of the enemy to stop me from walking in greater faith. Because God has really blessed me in the area of finances and used us tremendously of sowing, you know, bigger seeds. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've gone through a disappointment, if you've gone through a loss or whatever, don't let that stop you. Take that step of faith, because God is waiting for you to take that step. Amen.
Praise God. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, actually, kind of what Bill and Shannon were saying, like, what the Lord's been showing me is, like, rejoice in hope. And hope is like, a confident, joyous expectation. And so I've just been practicing that, and I love doing that in my car because no one's around. And sometimes I get a little bit silly because I can. in my car, and one day, I think maybe in the morning or something, I was going to return or to exchange a gift I had got for my brother. And I was just in my car, and I was just like practicing expecting something awesome from God. And nothing really in particular, but just I was just practicing how I would respond to God's goodness, you know. So I was going, oh, wow. I was being quite silly all the way, you know, across town. Anyway, so I get to this store, and I was exchanging this thing for my brother, and when I had been there before, I had been looking around, and there was this purse that I had, whatever, I wasn't really looking for anything, but I was like, whoo, that's a really nice purse, but no, okay, keep focused, Kate Nelson, birthday present. And so, anyway, so I went to exchange it, and the thing that I found was just a little bit cheaper than the first one, so he's like, I don't know, go look around, maybe there's something you want, like a, I don't know, purse or something. I was like, oh yeah, there's a purse I liked. So I looked, and I was like, okay, I don't know, I'll grab it, I'll probably have to pay, like, still for it, I don't know. But he's like, oh, I'll just, like, adjust it. So anyway, I didn't have to pay anything for the purse, and I kind of figured it out after. I think he gave me, like, over 50% off. Whoa. I don't know. He just made it even, so I didn't even have to pay for this purse. Anyway, so then I went to work one day, and I was telling my boss, I said, yeah, I got this purse from the Lord. It's a gift from God. He just gave me this purse. So I didn't need it. It was just really cool. And she's like, oh, that's so nice. She says, well, you need a wallet to match that purse. I'm going to get you a wallet. And so she got me this wallet to match my purse. And it's just such a surprise from God. I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I don't even need that. You know, I like it, but I definitely wouldn't have got it myself. But God's just good, and he loves us. So,
praise
yeah.
the Lord. Good. Thank you. Dakota?
Hello, my name is Dakota. I'm agnostic, but I hope to be baptized.
Good. Let me pray for you, Dakota. God, we just so thank you for Dakota's life and for his openness to you and his desire for that which is real and true and pure and good. We pray blessing, we pray visitations of your presence and your goodness to Dakota. Father, that his life would be brought into the fullness of blessing that you have planned for him, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Dakota. That's it. Good. Any more? One more, two? Okay, Candace, after you, it's me.
You can get Cam to confirm the details afterwards, because I probably will get the story wrong, but his truck was making some really weird squeaky noises and things like that. And we didn't have a lot in the budget to fix that truck, so we went in for our oil change, got that done, got the guy to look at the truck, and it was some sort of belt thing. You can ask him again. But he just happened to have one there. He didn't know where it was from, and he only charges the labor, and it was like right in the budget line that we had to fix the truck and grease it up, and it's not making any noise anymore. So just like God can provide, he knows ahead what your needs are, but we just didn't go in fear. We just said, God, you're going to provide, and he did.
Praise That's the Lord. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Candace. We're looking forward to a picnic this afternoon, so my handlers say I have to 11:30. That gives me 4 minutes and a half. That's about what I normally preach. But let me just say this real quickly. This last couple weeks have been really very exciting for me. I've just seen the goodness of God. I actually forgot my notes even from this morning. So you guys are really off. Today is a good day. Today is awesome. But what I was going to speak to you about, and what I'll just put on the table real quick for you, is that God wants to do you good. God's planning to do you good. In the last couple of weeks, most of you know that Linda and I have some rental homes, and this one particular home, we just became available, open for rent, like quickly. Stuff happens sometimes in this world quickly, right? So when renters are supposed to give you a month's notice or 2 months' notice, sometimes it's 5 minutes, and sometimes you don't find out till a week later that they just gave you notice and they're gone already. So that's kind of how it was for us in this one particular house, and there's considerable import for us to, when a house becomes empty, we have a list of people that are already in place to have made application for houses, but we like to make the turnover as quickly as possible rather than take 6 months of no rent, you understand? And so this one particular house, we're working on this house, and the house is, you know, the house is okay, but I had real difficulty when I went into the bathroom, because the bathroom was, you know, it's pretty ho-hum, but it had this, had a blue tub. Mrs. Winsor, you understand what I'm talking about? And if the whole bathroom is blue, at least the whole bathroom is blue, if it's all blue. But everything else is white and it's got a blue tub. I mean, this is bad. I mean, it's just ugly. Robin's egg kind of blue. It was just really bad. And so I was turning over my head what to do with this tub. And, of course, my wife says, well, keep it. It's a tub, right? It's there. It works. But I don't always think exactly the same. And so I'm tempted to get a different tub, but a tub is a fair, you know, there's a few hundred dollars, number one, and number two, changing a tub is different than, say, changing a sink. Like changing a tub, you got to take half your house apart. It's not easily done. And furthermore, this particular tub wasn't a full size tub, 60 inches or whatever. It was like 52 3/8. And a millimeter or something, kind of like that. It's just so, which means it's just, you got to order the thing special because it's just not a stock tub. And so I knew in my head this thing's going to cost $500-$700 for a tub. And furthermore, I don't have like 6 months to get a tub. I mean, I need a tub like now. And so we're back and forth, and Rick was helping me, and we're pondering back and forth what to do with this tub. Well, in the middle of that, I get a phone call from Doug Cook, and Doug says, we got a house down the street that we are about to demolish. If there's anything in the tub, if there's anything in the house that you would like, you know, scope it out, and, you know, we're going to take the backhoe to it, like, next week or 2 weeks. So if you want to get something out, like, now's the time. So I said, that's a great idea. So we went there and went through the house. Lo and behold, yea and verily, there is a tub. White tub. 52 3/8 and a millimeter. That was a blessing to God. You understand for me? Not only do I have to wait 7 weeks to get the tub, not only do I have to pay for it, but it's the same size. And it's there, ready to go. Just amazing. What I was thinking about is, if Doug would have called 2 weeks sooner,
I would not have had an interest in all the world in a house or a tub. If he'd have called 2 weeks later, it would have been too late, because it just, you understand? The timing, not only the unit itself, but because he heard from God in phoning me, and because we were all looking to the Lord together, it was all sequenced together, just a God thing. And so every time I go in the house, now we got the tub in the house and got the people in the house and it's all good. But I have a white tub, and every time I see this white tub, I say, God is just so good. God is just so good. Has nothing to do with the tub. Has little to do with the $500. Has to do with the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Beyond that, what's today, Sunday? A week ago, like on Thursday, Linda and I were having breakfast together. And breakfast was going really well. Everything was wonderful. And all of a sudden, like that fast, I am at a 7 out of a 10. You understand? I mean, just at the snap of a finger. So I just about laying on the floor. I go just like that. You know? I mean, 1 second I'm 100%, and next second I was... And, whoa. So being the spiritual man that I am, I reach for the telephone. And I dial my dentist's office, right? And this friendly recording comes on saying, we won't be open for another week. And I'm saying, oh, what now, my love, right? So being the spiritual man that I am, I phoned the other dentist. And they got me in and looked at me and gave me the bad story. But in the middle of that, the thought came to me, like, why don't you pray? Being the spiritual man that I am. And I thought, it's one thing, you know, if I have an owie on my finger or, you know, my toe or my kid or whatever, but my tooth. Well, I decided that's really not that bad an idea. So I just began to call on God just for a grace to deal with his tooth, that God would just get me through it. I didn't even pray, like, heal my tooth. But from a 7, I went down to a 4. And this is over like 5 days, right? I went down to a 4. And then by the time I got into the dentist, I was at a 1. Now, how many of you have had 7s lately? Like, 7 makes you just sit right up and take notice. Like a 7 will... That'll get, and how I was going to live for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks with the 7. I didn't have that really figured out in my head. But I am just so grateful. Now you guys, you just think that's a small thing, and it just, well, not if you have a 7, it's not a small thing. And I'm just so grateful. God just worked, just brought it down. I was at a half, like I was just nothing. By the time I got to the end, eventually they fixed it up and patched me up. But I'm just so great. God is good. God is just so good to care for even a small thing like a tooth. The grace of God. Okay, well, listen, our time's gone. Let's stand together. I have a scripture for you. Scripture is from Psalm 84. It says this, No good thing does he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I want you to repeat with me. Some of you didn't hear me. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Once more, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Truly, you are a good God. Truly, Father, we believe that your purposes are to do us good. Your purposes are for good to fill our lives, to fill that cup to running over. The Lord is my shepherd, the scripture said. He makes my cup to run over. My cup overfloweth with the goodness of God. Father, this morning we've heard testimony. We've heard stories. We've heard experiences and expressions of the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And Father, we just want to be reminded one more time that your goodness does not hinge on our own ability or our own worthiness, because the scripture teaches us in Colossians chapter 1, that in Christ Jesus you have qualified us to share in the blessing of the gospel. So, Father, we just rejoice that whether it's a tooth or a horse, Father, whether it's a need with one of our kids or with our finances or with our health, no good thing do you withhold from those that walk uprightly. And so, Father, we pray that blessing over this congregation today, that as we come into the new week, that our hearts would be refocused and our minds would be renewed with the goodness of God, with the promises of God, with the faithfulness of God. So, Father, we declare blessing over this congregation, every home, every individual, everyone, Father, from the youngest to the oldest, that we might be found walking tomorrow in more than even today of the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be